This is Cruise Radio.
I cruise a lot, and I always sail with travel insurance. You should, too. Get a free quote today at tripinsurance.com.
Here we go.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Angie just returned from a nine-night cruise on Holland America's Rotterdam. It went down to the Southern Caribbean from Port Everglades, and she joins us on the line. Angie, always great to talk to you. How are you?
I am great. How are you, Doug?
Good, good. Excited to hear about your Rotterdam experience. The last time I sailed Rotterdam was the Transatlantic, retracing its voyage from 150 years ago from the U.S. over to Rotterdam, actually. So excited to get a Caribbean review of her. Let's get some pre-cruise thoughts. What made you want to take this nine-night out of Everglades?
Well, surprisingly, even though my husband and I have been on quite a few cruises, and he even used to work for a cruise line, we've never been to the Caribbean. So we live in Seattle. You know, it's pretty cold and dark in the winter, and warm weather cruises in order. So we decided to go to the Caribbean this time. And then we were kind of looking to see which ship, which cruise line and stuff. And then Holland America just landed in my inbox with a really good deal. So we took him up on that deal. And my sister also decided to come along, which was kind of cool because she's never been on a cruise before. She's actually a very experienced world traveler. Like, she'll do stuff like 28 days in Southeast Asia by herself. But she's never actually been on a cruise. So she was able to jump on the deal as well. And so that's how we got to where we ended up.
That's so cool. And it's always good to see the cruise through like fresh eyes like that too, you know?
Yeah, it was interesting. And that will come up a couple of times here in my review today.
So you make your way down to Florida. Any pre-cruise time before you board Rotterdam?
Yeah, it takes a long time to get to Florida from Seattle. So we have to fly the day before, which is always a good idea anyway. So we flew down. We ended up getting an Airbnb with my sister the night before. She lives on the East Coast, so she flew in from her city as well. And we got this nice little Airbnb with two bedrooms and two bathrooms. The hotels down there were pretty pricey, so this worked out really well. And then we had our own privacy and stuff.
You make your way to the cruise pier to embark Rotterdam. How was the embarkation process, and how long did it take you from curb to ship?
It was really smooth. The curb to ship time isn't super fair because we got there really super early because we had to check out of our Airbnb. So we got there early. The ship wasn't ready yet for us to board. So I think it took us about 45 minutes. But again, that was the check-in and stuff went really fast. And then we just had to sit in the terminal for a while with all the other people who got there way too early. And, you know, one note is Holland America did give us a boarding time. I think it was like 12:40 or something, but I don't think Holland America pays any attention to boarding times because they didn't say anything to us. We got there like at like 11 o'clock and they said nothing. They just, you know, everybody just had to wait for the ship to be ready.
How is the pre-cruise like paperwork and check-in, online check-in, I guess is what I'm trying to say, on Holland America? Like, once you check in, you got the, you know, you're good to go. Is it basically just having your passport in one hand and your phone in the other?
Yeah, basically. And they have the little iPad things, the little tablets. And I have regrets for the rest of my life because they saved the picture that they took of me last time I sailed with Holland America, which I wasn't ready for. And it's a terrible picture. But they had our pictures in there and were doing facial recognition. So that part was super simple. And you kind of just walked up. You know, you remember the old days where you always would like go up to a desk? But You don't really seem to do that anymore. Like, we just walked up to, there were several people standing there with these tablets on kind of stands, and you could just kind of walk up to them, do the facial recognition, and then move on.
It's like those facial recognitions, like when you're coming back into the country, or some different airports have them too, where you don't even know they're going to take it. You just walk up and it does snap.
Yeah, that's what happened to me on the first Holland America cruise I took. I walked up to the guy and he was like, look at this tablet. And so I was just looking at the tablet. I wasn't ready to, you know, I wasn't camera ready. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a picture of me staring at a tablet. But I guess it was good enough for them.
So you've sailed, what was it, Koningsdam before?
We sailed on the Eurodam in Alaska in 2022.
That's right. Okay, so you've sailed Eurodam. A little bit different class this one is. So what were your first impressions when you walked on board Rotterdam?
It's beautiful. I love when you walk up to the Holland America ship. It really looks like a ship. You know what I mean? Like, it's an old school looking cool ship. It doesn't look like a big giant thing or whatever. So I love that. When we first got on the ship, there was crew there ready to welcome us and kind of direct us to where we were going. We were able to go to our room right away, so we didn't have to hang around or wait for a certain time or anything. And so you go to the room right away. We met our room steward right away. He was right there, which I always like that touch. I think that's really welcoming. And they do the muster drill on the TV. You just kind of had to go in your room, turn on the TV, watch the video, and then you were ready to go check in at your muster station. And that's all we had to really do. So that makes it all really smooth. The ship itself is beautiful. One of the things I noticed about the ship the first day and, you know, throughout the cruise was they really did an amazing job with the art on this ship. And I don't mean the art that they sell, but like the art that's decorating throughout the ship. In all of the stairwells and near all the venues and stuff. Usually, you know, that's kind of a throwaway thing on ships. But on this ship, I found it really interesting. And I actually took a lot of pictures of the art on the ship as well. So that was a really cool first impression.
Was the muster drill the same as it was on Eurodam a couple of years ago?
Yep, same deal.
What kind of stateroom did you have for this 9-night cruise, and what did you think of it?
On this one, we had an interior, and I really liked it. It has, even though, you know, interior cabins are really small, it has really nice finishings. The bed was really comfortable, and we had plenty of storage, and we kind of overpacked because it was a 9-night cruise and a 10-day trip total. And it kind of threw me off for some reason. I couldn't figure out how much to pack. So I brought way too much stuff, but there was plenty of storage. We also had one of those interiors that's kind of sideways, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So rather than coming in through the door and then going down the hallway of closets and then to the bed, you actually came in right where the bed was. And I actually really like that. I think I'll look for that in the future because sometimes when you have those ones where it's an interior and you come in through the hallway, it's just really crowded. Like if you have a bag or anything, it's hard to kind of manage. But this one, you just kind of came in and you were right at the bed. And another thing that was kind of cool is my sister also went with us, and we had guarantee cabins because this was part of the deal that we got. So we're kind of concerned about if we get cabins on different parts of the ship, you know, it wasn't a big deal, but, you know, so we had linked our reservations at one point and they put us next to each other in the cabins. They had told us that linking our reservations wouldn't guarantee that we would get put next to each other, but they did put us next to each other. So that was really nice too.
Yeah.
The bathroom in the stateroom was really nice too. It was probably the only kind of cruise ship bathroom I've ever been on where the bathroom finishings were just as nice as the room. Because usually the bathroom finishings are kind of like institutional on cruise ships. And the shower was nice and big. So overall, really nice room.
Talk about the dining on this one. Now, Holland America, they have a really nice buffet up there on all of their ships, but really nice up there on the Rotterdam. So what were your impressions of the, what do they call it? The Lido Marketplace?
The buffet. We just called it the buffet. Yeah. Lido buffet or something like that. You're right. The buffet on Holland America is really nice. And on this ship, it was nice because they have a number of individual stations. And all the stations have some kind of a name above them, like Homestead or something like that. So that where that was nice was sometimes my sister would be somewhere else on the ship and we would text each other, you know, meet at the buffet. And she could say, meet by this station or whatever. And what they do there is they actually serve the food to you. I couldn't figure out quite what the system was, but it seemed like they were serving like the main dishes and the hot dishes and things. And then, but even like the salad bar, they would put your salad together for you. So you didn't have a lot of people elbowing each other, trying to grab the food and things like that. And it seemed like it was always fresh. And then you would just grab your own stuff that would be like an extra, like a bread or a fruit, desserts and stuff like that. But for the most part, they serve the food to you. So, and each station kind of had three sides to it, if that makes sense. So there's plenty of room for people to kind of mill around, decide what they want, and then get in a little line to get the food. You never really had to wait, even though they were serving you. And I felt like the food was kind of fresher. They have one station at the end where they call distant ends. And on one side, that was pasta, but on the other side it was Asian food. And my husband and I both really like the Asian food on Holland America. It's really good. And we live in Seattle. Like we have good Asian food all around us, but it was nice because every day they would have like a different sort of ethnicity of Asian food. Like they had Vietnamese food one day, Indonesian food. So that was fun. And my husband did the stir fry a lot as well. So really good buffet. The only kind of downside to it was sometimes it would get kind of crowded. The seating would get kind of crowded, but usually you could find a seat. It just seemed like people wanted to sit by certain stations. So if you kind of looked around, and then there are two sides to the buffet, and sometimes only one side would be open. So that side seating would be really busy, but the other side would be fine.
They have some other places that are included in the price of your cruise, like the Dive-In Burger and the New York Deli. Did you try any of those?
We did. The Dive-In, I never tried. I don't really get hungry for like a hamburger when it's hot, but my husband tried it and he said it was fine. The other problem with the Dive-In was it would get really crowded down there by the Dive-In. Like it was hard to get a table, but the New York Deli and Pizza is actually a deck above where like the buffet and the Dive-In are. And we actually ate there several times. Pizza was really good. And on this ship, they also had sandwiches. So the sandwiches were good. They had a couple breakfast options, and it was a really nice way to kind of get away from the crowd when it did get too crowded in the other venues. So yeah, we ate there several times.
And how was the main dining room experience, and what time dining did you have?
We did anytime dining. We only ate in the dining room, like, I think 3 nights. The food was really, really good. We just don't always eat in the dining room because it's this long formal service. Mm-hmm. One kind of funny thing that happened the first night, and my sister, you know, being it was her first night on a cruise, it was kind of funny because we had told her, you know, in the dining room, you can order multiples. You know, we said the food portions are pretty small, but you can order multiples if you want to. Like, so we had all ordered 2 appetizers. So like a little salad and something else. We had our appetizers and then the entrees came out and she had ordered lasagna, and the lasagna portion they gave her was enormous. Like you could have cut it half and it still would have been a generous portion of lasagna. And it was funny because she ate maybe like a third of it or something. And she said it was really good, but she was just full. And two different servers came by and checked in on her. And we were like, don't you like your dinner? Are you okay? Can we bring you a different dinner? Because they were just really worried that she hadn't finished her dinner. But it was just a lot of food. So she was like, no, I'm fine. So really good service. One night we did eat with another couple because I think it was formal night and they were just really busy. And that kind of made me question, because everybody seemed to have different expectations of, they didn't really understand like the formal dining process of like getting your food in courses. Like the other couple kept asking for their food to be delivered at different times and stuff. And then they were getting kind of irritated because it was taking a long time and they wanted to go to the show and stuff like that. It kind of made me question whether we used to always sit with other couples and stuff at dinner, but it kind of made me question whether I would do that again. Cause I think the concept of like the formal dining is kind of going away for a lot of people, mm-hmm. or a lot of people just kind of don't get it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, 100.
But even that night, the food was amazing. My husband one night ordered one of the sort of upcharged steaks that they have in the dining room. And he said it was really good. It was one of the best steaks he's had on a cruise ship, he said.
Very good to hear. Now, specialty restaurants, they have a couple on there. What is it? Tamarind and Pinnacle and probably, what is it? Rudy's. So anything in that nature?
We did not do any of the specialty dining restaurants. There were a couple of times we were sort of talking about it, but you get the food on Holland America is really good. Like you don't really feel like you mm-hmm. need to. And we were just always so full all the time. Like I was like, is it really going to be worth the money to like go to a specialty? So we just never ended up doing it other than that one upcharge steak that my husband got, which I think they brand those as like Pinnacle Grill steaks, but he got it in the dining room.
Yeah, same thing Carnival does in the main dining room. They brand it as the Fahrenheit 555 steakhouse steak, but just pay the upcharge for it. Let's talk about the entertainment on this 9-night cruise. What did you think of it throughout the week and a couple of days?
The entertainment was good. One negative thing is we really missed the Lincoln Center stage. They got rid of it, and I guess across all of Holland America, but they didn't have it, and they didn't have any kind of classical music at all, which when we sailed on the Eurodam, my husband loves classical music, and I like it. I don't sit and listen to it a lot, but it was something that we really enjoyed when we were on the Eurodam, so we missed that. But the B.B. King's Blues Club was really fun. That's probably my favorite venue that they have on Holland America. And I guess the Caribbean cruise vibe was like just more fun because a lot of people were up and dancing in the B.B. King's Blues Club. One night on the Holland America cruises, they always have what they call the Orange Party. And so people were having fun at the Orange Party. They also had the piano bar and the Rolling Stone Rock Room. And we did not spend a lot of time in either one of those, but they were both really nice, like pretty big venues with kind of comfortable seating and everything like that. And one of the coolest things that we saw, they had this steel drum band, or as we learned, they're supposed to be called a steel pan band, that played in the theater one night. And they played a bunch of like classical, well, they called it classical, but I think it was really more like show tunes instead of playing their traditional Caribbean music. And then the next day they had an event where you could go and they kind of did a talk about the steel pans and how they came to be and all that kind of stuff. And so that was really interesting for us. We learned a lot because I didn't actually know that the drums were what was making the melody and everything. So that was actually really cool and interesting. And I think one of the things like Holland America does really well is these sort of educational things.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me how every part of that drum is a certain key too, which is wild.
Yeah, and this band apparently has a long-standing contract with Holland America, and they've been on Holland America ships for decades.
Yeah, very cool. Did you spend any time like on the Sea Days or anything hanging out in that, where they show the movies? What, not the atrium, the solarium slash pool?
You know what's funny? They barely used the screen. Yeah, they only showed a movie maybe twice. And there was also one day where, and this is where my knowledge of sports is very lacking, but It was in the preamble to the Super Bowl when they have like the final two games in either conference where whoever wins gets to go to the Super Bowl. Right. So they played those games out there too. But yeah, that was actually one thing that was kind of a little bit disappointing, was because I really like the movies under the stars concept. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they only played movies a couple times.
How was it as far as crowds and congestion?
It was super crowded. So I was kind of surprised because I wouldn't expect America. But there was some serious pool chair hogging going on. There was even a rumor in our Facebook group of like an altercation between two elderly gentlemen over a pool chair, which was kind of funny or sad. People would kind of park themselves there all day. There was a lot of people on the ship that also didn't seem to get off during port days either. And so the pool was constantly busy. I didn't really care too much because on port days, we went to the beach a lot, so I didn't really care too much about getting in the pool. But if you had wanted to sit around the pool, you would have had to, you know, probably arm wrestle an elderly guy or something. So that was the only piece that was kind of disappointing. And I was thinking about this because crowding wasn't really an issue when we were on the Eurodam. Like, there always seemed to be somewhere you could go. But I looked at the ships after we got back. I looked at the ships online, and the Rotterdam has about 500 more guests. But they didn't really, and it is a bigger ship, but they didn't really, I don't think they really effectively redesigned it. The only thing it has that the Eurodam doesn't have are like more dining venues. It doesn't really have more like hanging out space, you know, for those Sea Days. And they don't even really have like promenade deck chairs or anything. So you can't go out there. It was a little bit disappointing how crowded it was. And for my sister being on her first cruise, it was kind of unusual, especially I felt for Holland America.
That ship does have something that is kind of new, right? It has that, what is that bar called? Is it a Half Moon Bar?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they do have additional both dining and bars. Mm-hmm. And I think that the bar, there was one bar that kind of had two pieces to it, which was called the Ocean Bar, I think. And I imagine that maybe where Lincoln Center stage might've been at some point, but I don't really know. Cause you know, I didn't look at the deck plan from the old days, no. But I'm just saying in terms of like sitting outside or enjoying the pool or anything like that, I've been on ships before where there's either more pools or the pools are more, like sometimes if they push more people towards the aft of the ship, mm-hmm. there is a pool on the aft of the ship, but it's very small and there's a huge smoking section next to it. So kind of not as appealing out there, but that I did go out there one day to sit outside and it was also extremely crowded.
So what was it like in the casino? Was it like the smoke situation? What was the gauge on that?
Yeah, so this was the only other thing that was a little bit disappointing about the ship, because the casino was smoky. And interestingly, like I would be in there and I would look around and you would hardly see anyone smoking, but it was still pretty smoky. So I have to imagine that they didn't deal with the air very well, the air return or whatever. So it's on the forward of deck three and it's all open, and it's open to the floor below as well, which is where the Rolling Stone Rock Room and the piano bar are and a bunch of the shops. So anywhere that you were in that area would be smoky. And then they always have one of those shops that has a ton of perfume, right? So all the perfume smell, I don't know why they always smell so strongly of perfume, like they've been spraying every perfume. So all the perfume smell and all the smoke smell would mix together and it would be kind of unpleasant in that area. And then the other weird thing about the smoke would be, our cabins were in the forward of deck six, and even the elevator shaft smelled smoky. So like as soon as you would go out of the cabin and go to the elevator, like to go to breakfast or whatever, or dinner or whatever, you would smell smoke even in the elevator area on deck six, which was really weird. But so yeah, that was the only thing. And like I was mentioning, the aft pool deck also has a big smoking section and it's covered. So it wouldn't just kind of float away. Like it was pretty smoky out there too.
So with the ports of call on this 9-night cruise, give us the rundown. Like what was your first port of call and what did you do there? Then we'll move to the next one.
Okay. So first stopped in Aruba. So one thing that was really nice about this cruise is we had two sea days and then we were in the ABC Islands for 3 days. So we had really long port days, which was really nice. So in Aruba, we were there from like 8 a.m. till 11 p.m. or something. So in the morning in Aruba, we went to Eagle Beach, which is a super nice beach. It's easy to get to. You just take a cab. And then there's some guys, you kind of walk through this little park. And then there's some guys right on the beach that are, you pay for umbrellas and chairs. The way they had the umbrellas set up was they were all really far apart from each other. So, and we got there so early, we kind of had the beach to ourselves for a while. I will say this, if you want to go to Eagle Beach, I think it is a good idea to go in the morning because it was pretty full by noon. But yeah, really nice beach. We just chilled out at the beach. And then in the early afternoon, we went back to the ship because we had plans for the afternoon. So we went back to the ship, freshened up, ate some lunch. And then in the afternoon, we went out on this street art tour. That was one of the coolest things that we've done on a trip, but definitely on this trip. So there's this town, San Nicolas, which apparently there used to be an oil refinery. And then the oil refinery, and it was like a booming town with lots of, you know, people living there, lots of foreign visitors vacationing there and stuff like that. And then the oil refinery shut down something like 15, 20 years ago, and it kind of fell on harder times. And the population of the town really shrunk. So now there's like 15,000 people there. And one of the guys that lived there found out about like these street art exhibits that are happening in other countries. I think he went to Colombia and got inspired. And so he just kind of decided to organize this street art. I don't even know what you call it, like a movement, but it was a movement, but it was organized by one guy. So he got artists from Aruba and he got artists from around the world who are well-known street artists. And they came to town and they've almost all the walls, almost all the businesses and different, even the police station has street art on it in this town. And so he and his, I don't know if she's his employee or business partner or what, but they do these street art tours. And my sister just found it on Viator. There's an option where you can do it with or without transportation. So we did it with transportation because the town is kind of far from where the cruise ships are. So the woman picked us up. And what was really cool was she was also the tour guide. So she came and picked us up, took us to the town, did the tour. There was one other group. So there was only like six of us. And then she drove us back. And so it was really cool because the tour itself was really cool. And then we got to spend all this time with her asking her questions and stuff too. So, and that's called Aruba Mural Tours, if anybody who's listening is interested in it. I think it's the only company that's doing the street art tours. It's a pretty small town, but that was a really cool, very memorable experience that we had. And in case you're wondering, like I was, wow, doing a street art tour in the afternoon in the Caribbean, isn't that going to be super hot? It was actually hot, but it was windy. Apparently it's windy in Aruba all the time. So it was fine.
So yeah, you packed a lot in for Aruba. Where'd you go next?
Next day we went to Curacao. In the morning we went to Mambo Beach, which is a man-made beach and a lot more developed than like Eagle Beach was the day before. So we did that in the morning. That beach was a little funky for me because it was pretty crowded and a lot of people were smoking. I don't know if they were all European or what, but I was like, why are so many people smoking at the beach? But once you got in the water, it was fine. It was just kind of sitting on the chairs and stuff. There was a lot of people smoking around. So we did that for the morning. And then in the afternoon, we just kind of walked to the town that's right there, walked over the bridge that everybody walks over. And I probably would do this day a little differently. We didn't really plan too much for that day. So if I went back, I'd probably do a tour or something just to kind of see more of the island. But, but it was fine. It was fun. Cool, because during this time was when I guess Bonaire made a call or a ruling that they would only have one ship per day. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of other Holland America ships were getting canceled, but we got to go. So in Bonaire, we went snorkeling and I've never gone snorkeling before, but my sister said this is one of the best snorkel tours she's been on. So the vessel and the company is called Sea Cow Snorkeling. And it was just really nice because Bonaire is much less developed. And so you didn't have a ton of people everywhere. The actual snorkel vessel was nice because it had like these nice big stairs on it. So you could climb in and out of the water. Tons of time in the water. At some point, I was having trouble with my mask. And so I just got back on the boat. And so I was just enjoying, you know, being out on the boat. But my sister and my husband said they saw a ton of stuff in the water. The way they did this was they had people go out twice. So like they came back, took a break and went back out. So we were out there for like a good, probably 3 hours or so. And they took us over to this little island that's off of Bonaire called Klein Bonaire, which I guess just means like little Bonaire. So the island doesn't have any people that live on it and it's very unspoiled. So that was one of the coolest things about it too, is just getting away from any other tourist stuff.
2 sea days. And what was your next port of call?
And then the last day of the cruise, we were at Half Moon Cay, which is Holland America's private island. You know, I got to tell you, I had no expectations for this at all because we didn't have to plan anything. So I didn't really even think about it. And it was such a pleasant surprise, especially on the last day of the cruise. You know, and then you don't have to think about anything. Everything's right there. The only thing I had to think about in advance was renting a clamshell, which we did do. And I would encourage your guests or your listeners, if they're going to Half Moon Cay, to rent the clamshell way ahead of time because they sold out really early. You can do it online in your reservation. But yeah, beautiful. A beautiful beach. The lunch was provided by Holland America. We didn't drink alcohol, so I'm not sure how you go about doing that. I assume you'd have to pay for it, but I don't really know. But the food and non-alcoholic drinks were included. I don't know. It's just a really nice beach. We just spent the day at the beach, and it was a great way to kind of tie off the trip.
Yeah. So with the drink package on Half Moon, if they're still doing it like they did last year, you could buy a package on board from one of the dining folks or one of the bars. And it's basically a package, like I forgot how much, 5 drinks or 10 drinks for an X amount of dollars. So if you have the drink package on the ship, it doesn't work on the island. You always have to buy that extra package if you want to buy a package on land. Otherwise on the island. Otherwise it's a la carte pricing.
Okay, cool. Yeah. We did not drink too much on this cruise. I think I had maybe 2 cocktails the whole time. So
you make your way back to Port Everglades. How was your debark process?
It was easy. We self-assisted because we had an 11 a.m. flight. And so we just wanted to get off as fast as we could. And, you know, I hadn't been to the Caribbean. I hadn't been to Fort Lauderdale Airport for a cruise before. But man, it's all just so easy. Like the cruise port is so close to the airport. And I think we got an Uber and we were at the airport by like 9 o'clock. So yeah, super easy.
Love it. So looking back here, do you have any first time tips to offer anyone either sailing on the Rotterdam or doing that 9-night Southern that includes the ABC Islands?
Yeah, I think that Holland America has really good food and really good service. The ships are really comfortable. I don't know if I would take the Rotterdam again on a cruise with so many sea days, because there were 4 sea days total. And like I was saying, it was really crowded and a lot of the areas of the ship were smoky. So I felt a little more limited on sea days on this ship than I have on other cruises that I've been on. So I would say, if you're taking a cruise where there's a lot of port days, like I know the Rotterdam sails in Europe in the summertime, I think it would be fine for that, because you wouldn't have so many people jockeying for the pool and all that kind of stuff. It was a great cruise, great ship. I love Holland America now. I like totally would go back depending on the ship and the itinerary, but I'm totally going to go back there, which is funny because I was never even really that interested in them before I started getting like these good deals. I would say definitely try to get away from the tourist central areas that are right where you get off the ship, because there's not really that much interesting stuff going on right there. It's all very touristy. But like with that Aruba street art tour that we took, there was nobody else down there, just us and the other 3 people that were on the tour. But it wasn't like cruisers everywhere like it can be. And like I said, in Curacao, I would probably try to do something similar next time where I kind of get away from the central touristy areas. That having been said, I mean, even the popular beaches and stuff were really, really nice.
What was the biggest highlight of this cruise for y'all?
Well, one thing was just spending time with my sister, which she lives on the East Coast and we live on the West Coast. So even though I talk to her almost every day, I don't get to see her that much. And being on a cruise, I think, is a wonderful family vacation in that way, because you can just have downtime to hang out. I think for the ports, this might sound silly to your listeners, but we don't take a lot of vacations where we just spend time on beaches. Mm-hmm. Like we're usually cruising from the West Coast. And I mean, there's nice beaches, but it's not like the Caribbean. You know, that was just really something that was really special and new to us. And then I know I keep mentioning the street art tour, but that was really special too.
And to put a bow on this interview, your final thoughts of Holland America's Rotterdam?
Yeah, like I was saying, I just wouldn't do a lot of sea days on this ship in the Caribbean. I would definitely do the ship again or Holland America again, but probably not this particular ship or the Pinnacle class ships in the Caribbean, just because of the crowding. That's the only negative. There are so many positives. The ship itself was really nice. The food and the service are really, really nice. I forgot to mention the Wi-Fi earlier, but the Wi-Fi on the ship, I guess the Wi-Fi has been upgraded on all the Holland America ships, and the Wi-Fi was great. I mean, we never had any trouble with doing anything we needed to do. We didn't try to do any work or any like Teams calls or anything like that, but we did do, you know, all the things you do in life for fun, like, you know, email, social media, playing games on our devices and everything like that. And the Wi-Fi was great for that. Which was a huge improvement over when we sailed on the Eurodam 2 years ago. And they did away with that Wi-Fi where they had like the different tiers of the Wi-Fi. Everybody just gets the same Wi-Fi now. So yeah, and it was a really nice, very chill vacation. I would definitely do it again.
We've been talking with Angie about her 9-night Southern Caribbean sailing on Holland America's Rotterdam. Angie, always great talking with you. Thank you so much for stopping by and sharing this review.
Yeah, you too, Doug. Great to speak with you again.
Just back from a cruise? Let's talk about it. Email Doug at cruiseradio.net.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer 3 different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
All right, Dougie, let's see what we got for you, buddy.
Cruise Radio is produced at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Get cruise news, ship reviews, and money-saving tips every Thursday on Cruise Radio. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show. If you want to help spread the word, give Cruise Radio a 5-star review.
Find Cruise Radio where you listen to your favorite podcast or online at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer,